Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for opportunity to give you glory, to give you honor, to give you praise. You know, this morning I was on my other call that I do when I can, and I know it was a divine appointment this morning. The word for God that God gave me came out of our first Samuel word this morning. And it was Jonathan speaking with David. And Jonathan was telling David, the Lord be with you. Because, you know, David was dealing with Jonathan's dad, who was out to kill him. You know, and so David made a covenant with Jonathan. And Jonathan said, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemy. And, you know, he caused David to vow because he loved him. But he loved him as he loved his own soul. You know, he gave David an understanding and a warning. You know, he let him know, my dad wants to kill you. And, you know, he's only shown love to David. And David loved Jonathan right back as his friend. You know, we hear the term BFF, but honestly, there's only a few people you can count normally on one hand who are your true BFF. Because true friends are there with you through thin, through ups, through downs. They're the ones that pray for you. They're the ones that lift you up. They're the ones that don't tear you down. They're the ones that got your back through everything. That's your BFF. That's your friend. That's your sister. That's your brother. That's your absolute ride or die, as they call it. You know, I had the one of those. That was my husband. He was my absolute. He was my ride or die. You know, I knew that I could count on Richmond Smith. Regardless, he was going to be there. And I was thankful to God that I had that in my life, because some people don't have that. Some people don't have that person that gives them unconditional love. You know, may the Lord be with you. We got to want the Lord to be with others. the Lord be with you, as he's been with my father. Jonathan cared about David, and he wanted God to be with David, just like he had been with Saul. And he did not want his dad killing somebody. You know, he didn't want his dad out there being accused of being a murderer. You know, Saul lost it. But Saul created his own situation. He created that situation. He's the one that did not follow what he was told to do. We've got to do what we're told to do by God. And as we are in this month of May, the word just seems to fall right in place. May the Lord be with you. So I say this morning, moving forward, family, may the Lord be with you today and always, because we are all his children and we need each other. Father God in heaven, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for the joy that surpasses all understanding that can only come from you. Father God, we lift up this month, mothers, asking you to watch over them, to bless them, to guide them, to lead them, to be the best mothers they can be. And Lord God, I thank you for my children, for the wonderful day they gave me on yesterday. I thank you for the beautiful flowers. I thank you for just everything. You know, my new special merit that I received from my children, and the more than anything, the love that I received. I can only say thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I am so blessed to be your daughter, and I pray that I continue to be blessed to be a blessing to others that are in need. So, Father God, I lift this word up to you, asking you, Lord, to increase as I decrease, asking you, Lord, whew, hallelujah, to hide me behind your wings as you move forward in this word, guiding us and leading us and giving us clarity and understanding. So, Lord God, you are my strength. You are my Redeemer. You are my Father God. And I ask your help today as we move forward in your word, that you give me what to say, what to speak, when to say it, and when to speak it. And may the words be clear and concise, that those that hear it understand it and want to live by it. Lord God, may your love surround us all today and every day. In Jesus' name, I thank you for always being there to protect the love that can only come from you and the love we can only give to you as our Father, art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word. Thanking you. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah, and thank you, Lord. Thanking God today for all of you joining me. You know, I'm sharing hopefully this testimony. May the Lord be with you. As I was on my other Bible study and blog this morning, listening in on Facebook to Morning Glory Nation, Pastor Fred gave a testimony. You know, he was cooking for his family on yesterday and had called his daughter and asked her to go to the grocery store for him. But she was out on a date and couldn't do it. And so he had to do it. And he said that he had to leave church to go to get what he needed at the grocery store. And while there, you know, kind of convincing, he saw this family, this mom with her children. Mom was in the carts, the motorized carts. She had one child that was climbing into the ice bin. You know, the ice where they put the ice had somehow got a door open and was about to climb in with the ice. Another one was standing by her, the older one, who probably should have been helping her watch the little one, was kind of standing by helping her mom put groceries up on the thing and doing her thing. But the thing that bothered him was there was another one that was like a little 2-year-old or so with her binky still in her mouth, just walking. And as this little guy, little girl, baby, I'm saying it's a girl, I don't know, I'm just going to call it the baby with the binky, started walking, walked through double doors. Now understand, adults all around. Nobody's stopping to say, whoa, wait a minute, baby, where are you going? All of them watching this baby walk down the aisle with a little binky, walked up to the door with a little binky, and walked out the door with her binky, about to walk into traffic. And Pastor grabbed her in time, picked her up. And she didn't cry. She just kind of like, oh, thanks. You know, you caught me. He didn't say what happened after he took her back to her mother. But understand, it only takes a second or a minute for a baby to be gone. That baby could have stepped out just the right time into the traffic and then hit. I died. And can you imagine a car, a driver of a car, knowing they hit or maybe hit and killed an infant? Not by any fault of their own, because they probably wouldn't have been able to see her or see this baby and this beast. May the Lord be with you. The Lord was with that baby because Pastor Fred did see her, did go to his assignment, which was to be at the store at that time. You never know why you're sent where you're sent. It's for a purpose and a reason. It might just be to give a word of encouragement. It might be to save the life of a baby. And I'm speaking as someone who was hit by a car, 7 years old. I shouldn't be here. But God is good, and he loves us like that. Be grateful for every day that you're given, because it's so easy to complain. It's a lot harder to have to deal with the grief for the loss of a child or the loss of a loved one that you could have helped had you just been at your assignment. So whatever your assignment is this morning, family, go to your assignment. Do what you're called to do. And do it for the glory of God. And as we go back to chapter 19 of 1 Samuel, we're going back because this is the part we couldn't get to all of on Sunday. So we're going to go back and we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 19 through 21. And then we'll have our Psalm, Proverbs, and New Testament words. And it says this, now Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, my father, Saul, seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning and stay in a secret place and hide. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe, I will tell you. Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good towards you. But he took his life in his hand and killed the Philistines. And the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause? So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan and Saul swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be killed. Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in time past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow, and they fled from him. Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand. And David was playing music with his hand. Then pinned David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it on in the bed, put a cover of goat's hair on his head, and covered it with the cloth. So when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is dead. Then Saul sent the messengers back to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may kill him. And when the messengers had come in, there was the image in the bed with the cover of goat's hair from his head. Then Saul said to Michal, why have you just seen me like this and sent my enemy away so that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said to me, let me go. Why should I kill you? So David fled and escaped and went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed in Naoth. Now it was told Saul, saying, take note, David is in Naoth in Ramah. Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesy and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then he also went to Ramah and came to the great wall that is Sikkot. So he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, indeed, they are at Naoth in Ramah. So he went there to Naoth in Ramah. The Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? You know, he went to do dirt, and God flipped that script, and he got the prophesying, and the next thing you know, he's butt naked, praising God. You don't know what God will do to you. Don't play with God, because God does not play with us. 1 Samuel 19:20, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. God can protect his children in the most unorthodox of ways. He does not need weapons of war or fast horses. He can cause even our mortal enemies to act in ways contrary to their nature. He is sovereign. Hallelujah. Just like he had Pastor Fred save that baby's life on Saturday night. God can do all things, but Fred, that baby's got an anointing. That baby's got an anointing on her life. Her and her little Binky, they got an anointing. And I tell you this, one day we may hear this testimony again about a baby who tells somebody, somebody saved my life. They picked me up at the grocery store and kept me from getting hit by a car. I don't know who they were, but God does. And we do too. Understand, everything happens for a reason. May the Lord be with you. The Lord was with that young woman and her children. The Lord is with us every day. We got to say thank you, Lord, because we trust in his word. Did he not tell us to be strong and courageous, to not walk in fear, because he's with us wherever we go? I'm paraphrasing Joshua 1:9, but that is what God is telling us. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you everywhere you go. God is with us. We are blessed beyond measure. As we continue in 1 Samuel chapter 20. Then David fled from Naioth in Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity and what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" So Jonathan said to him, "By no means, you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." Then David took an oath again and said, "Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." So Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you." And David said to Jonathan, "Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all this day, David earnestly asked permission of me that he may run over to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he says thus, it is well, your servant will be safe. But if he is very angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father?" But Jonathan said, "Far be it from you. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then would I not tell you?" Then David said to Jonathan, "Who will tell me or what if your father answers you roughly?" And Jonathan said to David, "Come, let us go out into the field." So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not sin to you and tell you, may the Lord do so." There's that word, our word for today. "May the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away, that you may go in safety. And the Lord be with you, in he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies." Now Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. That's closer than a brother. That's a BFF. That's a best friend forever, Jonathan and David. And it goes on to say, now Jonathan again caused David to vow. David made a vow to Jonathan. And we all know that in later on in 2 Samuel, David brings in Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, to make sure that he is kept safe. You know, we understand God does what God does for every purpose and reason. All we have to do is be still and know that he is God. And as we continue in our word this morning, it says this. Now, Jonathan again, I'm saying one more time, caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow's the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed and remained by the stone Israel. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side as though I shot at a target. And there I will send a lad saying, go find the arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you, get them and come. Then as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. But if I say thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you. Go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the manna, which you and I have spoken of, indeed the Lord be between you and me forever. He spoke the mystery bread. May the Lord watch between me and thee. Then David hid in the field, and when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. Now the king sat on his feet and at other times on his feet by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought something has happened to him. He is unclean. Surely he is unclean. It happened the next day, the second day of the month, and David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan and said, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat either yesterday or today? So Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, excuse me, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away to see my brother. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of perverse, rebellious woman. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now, therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? Then Saul cast a spear at him to kill him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. Now, you know you crazy when you go try to kill your own son because they trying to talk some reason into you. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month. But he was grieved for David because his father threatened him shamefully. And so it was in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad was with him. Then he said to his lad, now run, find the arrows which I shoot. As the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond you? And Jonathan cried out after the lad, make haste, hurry, do not delay. So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of the matters. And Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and said to him, go carry them to the city. As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from a place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down 3 times. As they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. Then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. They wept. That was his best friend. And, you know, it was nothing but love for brother and brother. They were brothers of the heart. They were brothers of the heart. And it goes on to tell us, we'll come back actually to this life lesson after I finish all of 1 Samuel chapter 21. And then we'll come back to the life, what the Bible says about the need for Christian friendship and also the life lessons for this lesson here. It says, now David came to Nob to Abimelech the priest, and Abimelech was afraid when he met David and said to him, why are you alone and no one is with you? So David said to Abimelech, Ahimelech the priest, the king has ordered me on some business and said to me, do not let anyone know anything about it. The business of which I send you are what I have commanded you, and I have directed my young men to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand and whatever can be found. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread. If the young men have at least kept themselves from women, then David answered the priest and said to him, truly, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is, in effect, common, even though it was consecrated in the vessel this day. So the priest gave him holy bread, but there was no bread there, but the showbread which had been taken from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg. And he was a hot mess and a evil doer. I'm just calling Doeg what he was. He was a starter of foolishness. He was an Edomite, the chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. And David said to Ahimelech, is there not here? I have brought neither my sword nor my weapon with me because the king's business required haste. So the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it. But there is no other except that one to hear. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. And David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath, and the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Now David took 3 words to heart, and it was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before him, pretending madness in their hands, and scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his face, on his beard. Then Achish said to the servant, look, you see the man, saying, why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? He's like, I don't think he should be here. So let's keep it going to Psalms 59:1-5. To the chief musician said to do not destroy a victim of David. When Saul sent men and they watched the house in order to kill him, deliver me from my enemies, oh my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no feet of love. I'm saying, through no fault of mine. I was all somewhere else. Let me read that again. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me and behold. You therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressor. Eli said, finish. Don't do it. Don't let him get away with this mess. Proverbs 15:31-33. The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. We cannot disdain instruction. good instruction for everybody. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. What a word this morning. Let us go back over to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 13, which is the title from whence our lesson came from. The Lord be with you. And I'm going to go back and say, may the Lord, in this month of May, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. May the Lord be with you. Jonathan cast his whole friendship with David in spiritual terms, making the Lord the centerpiece of their relationship. That is always the way to closest and best of friendship, to the closest and best of friendship. God needs to always be first. You know, God knew David's heart. God knew Jonathan's heart. Jonathan was not vicious or nasty. He was not mean. He was just a young man who loved God and wanted the best for his father. He didn't want his father to suffer. He knew that David would take care of his father because David loved his father. His father just got sent down the wrong road by you know who. Who was he saying? Oh, what are you doing? Oh, just walking to and fro, messing with folks. And he was messing with Saul. He got permission to mess with Saul. Saul messed up. Trying to make a sacrifice that he was not to be doing. Trying to do somebody else's assignment. When it's not your assignment, you are to step back and leave it alone. God is in charge of everything. He's in charge of everything. And I can say it, God knows what he's doing. You know, on yesterday, our mother spoke at our church with words of encouragement, and they were good. Our oldest church mother is our pastor's mother-in-law and was our former pastor who passed away's mother. And all I can say is, this woman gives the best hug. You know, God, watch over her. And I ask you all to please pray for our mother, Hallie Roberts. She's a little frail now. She's 93, I believe, or 92. But I ask you to just please keep her in your prayers. Because, you know, I love to celebrate our 100th birthday party. And do it up, because she's so wonderful. And so sweet. She's just a sweetheart. And we just love her to pieces. You know, she is our mama that prays. We just love her. So please keep Mother Hallie in your prayers. And as we go back to what the Bible says about the need for Christian friendship. In 1 Samuel 20, adversity often brings us face to face with our need to associate with a different set of people. Perhaps we need new friends. Perhaps we need to sever ties with others. Perhaps we need to align ourselves more closely with Christian believers. God made us for fellowship and communication with other human beings and with himself. None of us were designed to go it alone. We need other people, and they need us. And that's for all of us. You know, so many times we'll say, well, I'm really a private person. But we got to have friendship. We got to have people in our lives that love us just because of who we are, just because we're good and we're friendly and we show ourselves friendly and we show ourselves as people who love God. And it says at times, however, we make unwise associations. We choose the wrong friend, our employer, our partner, our employee, and inevitably our bad choice brings us adversity. All of us got an adversity t-shirt. David and Jonathan provide us with very good model for true friendship. Jonathan's love for his friend caused him to act in several specific ways. He warned David of possible danger. He spoke well of David, even to a person who considered David an enemy and who was angry with Jonathan for having David as a friend. He sought to do what David needed him to do. He risked his life in defending David. He helped David to escape death. Jonathan's voice, one of the greatest statements of friendship in the Bible. When he said to David, "Go in peace, since we are both one in the name of the Lord," saying, "May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever." Now that's friendship. Paul describes Christian friendship in what we have come to call the love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. Ooh, I love that book. I love that chapter of 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is Christian friendship is patient, kind, and humble. See verse 4. Polite, selfish, unruffled, positive. See verse 5. Magnanimous and rooted in truth. See verse 6. And supportive but helpful and enduring. See verse 7. Such love, Paul said, never fails, and such friendships are divine blessings in our lives. God's rich reward to us on this earth. And that is friendship and caring and love from our sisters and our brothers. And our last book for this morning, our last chapter, is Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. It says, "Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened, supposed they had seen a spirit." Remember, Jesus died, now he's appearing to his disciples. "And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But what they still did not believe. But wow, they still did not believe. For joy and leave for joy and marvel. He said to them, 'Have you any food here?'" So Jesus, he is back to me in flesh and blood, just like he told him he would be. He rose on the third day. He ascended into heaven. But before he did that, before he transitioned, he had to go and get his disciples back on track. He had to go and get his BFFs back on track. He had to get them back to doing what they were called to do, what they were anointed to do, what they were appointed to do. So they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets, and Psalm concerning me." Concerning me. He wanted them to understand everything is for a purpose and a reason. I gave you all instructions before I left. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission is in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. He transitioned in front of them just to give them an understanding. Yes, I told y'all I was the son of God. And now you see who I am in my transition. He showed them his hands where the nails had pierced them. He showed them his feet where he had been pierced. He showed them everything they needed to know. And then he showed them his transition. And this is a word from Luke, our life lessons, and then we are wrapping it up. We will be done early today. Have you any food here? Jesus had to prove to his unbelieving disciples that he was no ghost and no figment of their imagination before they would accept the truth of the resurrection. Another reason we can trust the gospel. So we can trust the gospel account. And I'm going to read that one more time. Jesus had to prove to his unbelievers, they became unbelievers, disciples, that he was no ghost. Because they were like, he must be a ghost. He's risen from the dead. He can't be in the flesh. Wrong. He was in the flesh. And no figment of their imagination before they would accept the truth of the resurrection. Another reason we can trust the gospel account. He rose again. Can you say it with me? He has risen and he has transitioned. And it says, Luke 24:45, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. I'm going to read that again. They might comprehend the scripture. It always takes God's influence to help us understand. God's influence helps us to understand. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, influence to help us understand. I don't know why that just keeps coming in my mind. It always takes God's influence to help us understand the Holy Ghost and accept the truth of his word. Here's the discernment. The things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the natural man. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And we all understand. Folks think we different anyway as Christians. And when we start speaking in tongues or shouting or just allowing the Holy Spirit to enter in, to lay hands, folks think we weird. But you know what? It's all right. They can think you are weird just as long as they thank God for allowing me to be there. Be there. God loves us and he wants the best. So thank you so much for listening in this morning, family. Before we get out of here, I do have a prayer from my prayer book and a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And let's get started in our prayer. And then a word of encouragement, and then a wrap on this ninth day. Still can't believe we are just tooling along in our on our calendar. My inspiration is the title. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. And because it is a memory verse, let's go over it again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. I just had to have a moment with the Lord just then. Sometimes you just got to take a minute and just be quiet so you can hear the voice of God. And it comes back one more time. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Thanking God for that word this morning. Thanking God for his instruction. Thanking God for just a moment of silence to hear his voice. And the word says, Holy One, guide me in your truth today. I look to you, finding nuggets of wisdom and revelation in your word. They inspire me to dive deep into knowing you. How I long for you. You have all the answers to questions I don't even know to form. In you is the wisdom I am so desperate for. You have the keys to life. Correction, my soul is encouraged because your faithfulness reveals your good intentions for me. There is no end to the revelation of your love. Fill me anew today with your thoughts that are too wonderful for me to make up. Your creativity knows no limitations. As I meditate on your word, I ask that you would bring it alive in a new way. Thank you for your breath of life that puts animation to words that would otherwise fall flat. You are the speaker of life. In you I find who I am meant to be. I love you, Lord. And a word to think on today is this. How does God's word inspire you? I like to say, I just love God and I love his word because God's word just makes me all giddy. I just get all excited for the word of God. And I just get excited to know that Jesus loved me enough life for me and that he didn't have to do it, but he did it out of love because he is my BFF. He is my best friend forever. He is my savior. He is the love of my life. And I can say honestly, I love you, Jesus, more than anything. Hallelujah. May the Lord be with you, family, today. And a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. And I just got to tell y'all, Sister Carolyn just showed out yesterday. She had to give the word of meditation. And the next thing we knew, Sister Carolyn bust out with encouraged herself and tore it up. Whew. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Whew. She just went there, and it was good. Our sister in Christ knows the Lord, and yesterday was her birthday. So shout out, Sister Carolyn, on yesterday. I believe we did for her birthday and for Mother's Day. But yesterday was our sister in Christ's birthday, and let's just say she looked beautiful on her special day. So thanking God for my sister in Christ, who is my friend. Thanking God for all of you that listen in. And this is a word that says, good morning. No matter how difficult life can get, there is always some type of blessing you can look back on that God has done. Think back, give him praise, and trust him. Move, have a marvelous Monday. And if we go into our word this morning, no matter how difficult life can get, my best friend's daddy is trying to kill me. There is always some type of blessing you can look back on that God has done. My best friend warned me and helped me escape. God did it. Think back, give him praise, and trust him. God gave me bread from his bread, holy bread, so that it will sustain me and those that were with me. God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be with us forever because he loves us like that. So I say to you this morning, as we get ready to wrap it up, if there's anyone that has a word from God, push the number one on your phone. And if not, may the Lord be with you. That is our word for today. May the Lord be with you while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, knowing that our Daddy God is with you wherever you go. Be blessed. Have a great day. It is a wrap. And thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for just being who you are, awesome and wonderful. And I pray that all of our mothers Had a blessed and wonderful Mother's Day on yesterday, because you all deserve it. Be blessed and have a great day. It is a what? It's a wrap. Why? Because this girl's got to go to work. I got to pay the bills. Love y'all and have a great day. Keep God first in everything that you're doing. May the Lord be with you.